Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanksgiving Day, as we know it, has evolved into little more than turkey, football, and a paid day off. But the national holiday we call Thanksgiving can trace its roots and origins back to 1621, when the Plymouth colonists invited their Native American neighbors to dinner out of gratitude for God. The pilgrims celebrated with food, as we celebrate with food, only they thanked God that year for providing them with a necessary harvest. Even before their invitation to dine with the Wampanoag Indians, these harvest festivals had already been common in England. The 102 English immigrants who made the trip to America on board the Mayflower brought with them this Christian custom of thanking God for the harvest and of all the blessings that God bestows upon this body and life. Well, as I just said, modern Thanksgiving has evolved in a slightly different direction. Tomorrow, our Thanksgivings are likely to center more on what we should serve to our guest, which recipes we follow, where we find room for all those heaping dishes of delicious food that we spread across our tables, and my favorite part, which sofa or chair that we're going to veg out in after overeating. But how different from the very first Thanksgiving that was born out of adversity and scarcity. That first brutal Massachusetts winter killed off approximately one half of the colonists who had made that perilous journey across the Atlantic Ocean. In the following spring of 1621, God, however, intervened. He saved those remaining colonists by moving the hearts of those native Indians who lived beside them to help teach the survivors how to plant corn and how to catch fish to be used as fertilizer in growing such things as pumpkins and beans and other crops. And so, after barely surviving that first very harsh winter, these Christian pilgrims would humbly offer thanks to God for a harvest that we have come to know as Thanksgiving. Through the generosity of their neighbors, who taught them methods of planting and harvesting in the New World, God had provided the colonists with enough food to keep them from starving to death during that second harsh New England winter that was soon upon them. Now, I did some research, and the pilgrims didn't fix pumpkin pie with whipped cream, and they didn't serve turkey and dressing, or many of the other foods that we associate with Thanksgiving Day. More likely on that Thanksgiving menu were things like cod and eel and clams and lobster, wild boar and venison and Indian corn, along with an assortment of other vegetables, fruits, and nuts. That's what would have rounded out the course of that first Thanksgiving meal. Since this feast put on by the pilgrims would not be repeated in the next year or even in the years to follow, it would not, however, become an American tradition for almost 200 years. Oh, during the American Revolution, the Continental Congress made a suggestion for a National Day of Thanksgiving, but it didn't come about. It would be another 75 years later, in 1863, amidst the bloody conflict of the Civil War, that President Abraham Lincoln would first declare a National Day of Thanksgiving on the last Thursday of November. Prior to the mid-1800s, most historians would agree that Thanksgiving really had little or nothing to do with the pilgrims and the meal they shared with the Native Americans. The harvest festival observed by the pilgrims, you see, never really developed into a national holiday. It was more of a local New England custom. But President Abraham Lincoln used the Pilgrim Feast of 1621 as a symbolic archetype for his National Day of Thanksgiving. That first Thanksgiving in Plymouth would become symbolic of Mr. Lincoln's conviction that our nation needed to be dependent upon the goodness and the grace of God. And so, in Mr. Lincoln's own words, he says, "This day is intended to acknowledge the gracious gifts of the Most High God that have been bestowed upon America." Every president after Lincoln would repeat that annual proclamation until in 1941, when the Congress officially made Thanksgiving a national holiday. But in reality, the background for Thanksgiving really predates the Pilgrims by thousands of years. For the practice of giving thanks to God for the life-sustaining fruit of the harvest dates back to Old Testament times. The Jewish harvest festival was called the Feast of Tabernacles. That was a day God had sanctified and set aside for his people to render thanks to him for all the abundance of crops that they had received from his generous hand. But we can go further back. The genesis for giving thanks to God for all of life's blessings can be found much earlier, already in the opening pages of Genesis. In the opening chapters of Genesis, we're given a description of this good and wonderful creation. And we're also given a revelation of the goodness of the Creator who created it. For behind the things that God made, we see a perfect God who made a perfect world. And he filled it with all kinds of blessings that we are still enjoying. Even though sin has entered our world through Adam and corrupted God's perfect intentions for our planet, there is still much to celebrate about our world and the life that God gives us. And so from the very first sentence of Genesis, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," Scripture reveals God as the giver of every good and perfect gift that enters our lives. The Bible is very clear that everything that is good about this life comes from God, whether it comes to us directly or indirectly. Everything that you and I have, everything that benefits us, is the result of God's grace and his goodness at work in our lives. As Luther would say, for all of this, it is our duty to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. Now, this is what's happened in our world today. If you remove that biblical presupposition that God is the creator and source of every blessing, then you take away all incentive to have a day of thanksgiving. For even though it is embedded in man's conscience that there is a God and we have him to be thankful for all the good in our lives, the secular world chooses to blindly ignore this evidence. Evidence that is so plain and obvious from nature. And so in place of faith, the secular explanation is that everything that happens to us happens randomly and by chance. From the evolutionary perspective, there is no grand scheme of things planned out by our God in heaven, but only a daily struggle of the fittest to survive on this earth. Consequently, atheism has no God to thank. Despite the way we often speak, you cannot thank goodness. You can only thank God. The very concept of thanksgiving implies that there is a God who stands behind this marvelously complex world and who is working all things together for good in our lives. By faith, we know that God exists And we know he made the world. And so we Christians give thanks to a God who so freely shares all of those gifts with us. As our Creator, we are so thankful to God for so many things, great and small. We could start out by thanking God for our bodies and our souls. We're thankful for our health and for the joys of life, such as love and marriage or children and family. We thank God for our God-given abilities to be able to achieve and to contribute something to this life, for providing us with a livelihood. We thank God that He preserves us and sustains us through all the moments of life and all of its personal tragedies and triumphs. And whenever we give thanks, we give honor to God because we acknowledge that He is the one responsible for everything in our lives. Faith even believes this is true when we cannot see God at work in our lives and cannot find an answer to our prayers. For quite simply, we Christians know that God often works behind the scenes. He works through human means in a myriad of different ways. God works through parents and family. He works through education. He works through government. He works through medicine and weather, the arts and sciences. He works through business and agriculture. Now, since most of us no longer live on farms, many of us have forgotten the miracle of the harvest and the utter amazement of how it is that God can make things grow. I think we all need reminded that the food that we're going to enjoy tomorrow didn't just appear on our table, but it required God to find others who would plan and invest and plant, who would produce and labor and distribute, who would buy and sell and trade, who would prepare this banquet for us to eat. And it is God who must bless each step in the process along the way as food moves from those fields to our tables, as God balances out the forces of nature and of the economy. Many times we poor sinners grow complacent about giving thanks to God for the daily blessings that we have until we temporarily lose them. We only remember how wonderful it was to be able to breathe through our nose after we've gotten over a cold when we had a stuffy nose. Or we rejoice in the light and the warmth of the sun only after we've lived through the short, dark days of winter. Or we forget what a great blessing it is to hear children's rambunctious laughter in our homes until our grandchildren visit us on Thanksgiving. And my friends, that list doesn't even scratch the surface. We have not even begun to mention all the delights that God has built into our creation, such as color and sight and shape and sound and music and smell and taste and touch. These too are gifts of God through which God allows us to encounter our world and be part of it. And beyond the physical world of the five senses, there's a whole cerebral world of abstract thoughts and emotions that we have to be thankful for. What a gift that God has given us the capacity for cognitive thought, that we've been gifted so that we can analyze and solve complex problems, that we can think and choose for ourselves, that we can dream and achieve, that we can admire goodness in others and aspire to do great things, that we are capable of noble deeds, and that like the God who created us, we are also able to show compassion and charity, faithfulness and devotion. And we can also feel life as we're living it through the gift of emotions. From that exhilarating rush of adrenaline when we're excited about something, to that tranquil, peaceful feeling when we sit beside a fire on a cold night, God has provided us with a life that has so many wonderful moments for us to experience. And then beyond the moments, He also provides us with memories. But above all else, God gives us gifts of faith and spiritual wisdom so that we make the most of these gifts and our time on this earth. And one of the wisest and one of the best uses of our time is to do what we're doing tonight, to return thanks to God. And every time you and I worship and every time we gather to pray, that's what we're doing. We're offering thanks and praise to our God. Is it any wonder that the secular world of political correctness is uncomfortable with the concept of Thanksgiving Day? Now public education refers to it only as fall break. And I can understand that, because true Thanksgiving has its roots in Christianity. Martin Luther would summarize the Christian faith and say, basically, when you get right down to it, Christianity is a religion of gratitude. For in this Christian faith, we do nothing to earn God's blessings, but we merely receive the gifts of His grace and forgiveness, gifts that flow to us through Christ. As Christians, we know God in Christ not only as our Creator, but as our Redeemer and Sanctifier. And so, beyond the earthbound gifts that most people think about, we thank the Triune God who supplies us with spiritual gifts like saving faith and peace with God, with the hope of eternal life and renewed lives in Christ. We will gather tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day around tables of food, and we will be thankful to God, won't we, for our daily bread. But friends, we are here tonight gathered around the greater gifts of God's Word and sacraments. Tonight we are here, thankfully, to receive eternal life and the assurance of salvation, a salvation that has already been accomplished by Christ through His death and resurrection. Tonight we don't feast on turkey, but we feast upon the spiritual bounty of Christ's body and blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. We are here tonight so that through the hearing of the Word, the Holy Spirit might sustain a faith life in us and sanctify and keep us in this true and saving faith as we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Psalm 107 explains what it is that prompts Christians to be such a distinctively thankful people. Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever." Faith clings to that biblical promise that the Lord is good, and He is merciful to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is the genesis, the origin, the root, the cause of all true thanksgiving, and that is faith. For when our hearts believe in the God who loves us through Christ, we will find much to be thankful for in our lives. In fact, we're able to be thankful to God whether we live with a little or with a lot, whether we are in the process of living or of dying, whether we can see the evidence of God at work in our lives or whether we cannot. Still, our hearts can be filled with Christian thanks and praise. For faith in Christ persists in the conviction that the Lord is good and that His mercy endures over our lives. In fact, even having a thankful heart is a blessing given from God because it's a buffer against sin. St. Paul tells Christians to be thankful in everything, for this is God's will concerning you. And what I found in my own life is that if my heart is thankful, then I am less susceptible to sins and unbelief. Ungrateful people are far more likely to succumb to thoughts of hatred and jealousy and rivalry and revenge and despair and disappointment with God. In fact, those who fail to practice thanking God regularly may become dissatisfied with their station and lot in life. But Christian people who remain thankful for all of God's earthly and spiritual blessings will find little to complain about in their lives. Thanksgiving is more than just a day off work, and it's more than eating half your body weight in turkey. Thanksgiving is that inspired attitude, that constant Christian mindset that is so appreciative of our God who loves us so dearly in Christ, who tells us to always have this in our hearts and lips and on our lips. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy is always with us. Amen. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us in all of our celebrating tomorrow. Amen.